have a testimony. Boy, Joe and Kelly couldn't ask for more perfect weather than last night. Wow. Pretty setting. That tree was something.
I thought as we were sitting there, things were just about winding down. It was a good time for the Lord to come. We just all go up together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? Well, Jen and I got some flights scheduled to go see Heidi. September 11th. And I'm certainly praying that they don't ramp up this monkeypox thing. Because the last time, the COVID is what canceled our last flight to Australia. And that's been... it's been 3 years. It's 3 years since we've seen the boys. And was it Luke or Simon said, "When I see you, I'm going to cry." And I'm going to cry too. But we scheduled a longer trip, like 3 weeks, since we haven't seen them for so long. But so that's the plans for that. Anybody? Jan? Cindy says the next time she visits, it's not going to be so pleasant. But you never know. Maybe the seed sown will be received. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, he did bring it up. So, anybody else? Got all the rocking chairs filled back there. That's nice. Do you know where I got that idea from? Steve Anderson's church. I got one good thing out of that church. So, okay, we're in 2 Peter, chapter 2. And I don't think that any of the tribulation movies could show how evil it's going to be during the tribulation, and the Apostle Peter is going to try to describe some of it. And so we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to be faithful to you. I pray you'd help us to be able to see what's planned for the future. Not good. Thank you for salvation. It's full and free. And I do pray you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. When's the Jubilee? Does anybody know the dates for the Jubilee? Okay. It's usually the first week in November. What? November 2 through the 6th. So that's is that a Wednesday to Sunday, Thursday to Sunday? Wednesday to Sunday down in Jacksonville, Florida. That's Brother Peacock's church. So that may replace the play. So pushing the play off to next spring. Okay, 2 Peter 2, remember that Peter is apostle to the Jews. And picking up about verse 11, he's going to describe the wickedness of the people and or creatures in the last days. And we're starting to see this attitude amongst people. In America, this woke generation, starting to see this. And I do believe that this attitude is sort of kind of limited to America. If you say something like this to the Africans, they say, what? Non-binary? What's that? You know, it's somebody that thinks they're educated, smart, and they're snubbing or knows that God is what they're doing. And so 2 Peter 2, verse 11 is new territory in this letter. And he says, whereas angels, okay, so whereas angels, and then in Hebrews he said that angels will be entertained unawares. So in the tribulation time period, it is going to be a supernatural manifestation of angels, devils, worldwide miracles, amazing that the Antichrist is going to perform miracles to deceive people. So it's going to, like, the supernatural world is going to come down and be made manifest. And it's going to be a wild scene. So whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. So the angels don't smart off about the previous verse about the people in charge of the governing process. So people just, you know, smart off about the devil and whatnot. Michael, all Michael said when he approached the devil, when he dealt with the devil, is the Lord rebuke you. Now, when he gets imprisoned in Revelation 20, I can imagine Michael with that big hand grabbing him by the throat and watching his eyes pop out. And then he wraps a chain about him because he's going to be so degraded by then that, and he's going to throw him in prison in the bottomless pit. I can imagine that, but Satan is a being that, first, he knows the Bible better than anybody, and so he's going to know how to use it to deceive. And there's two times in the Bible where God gives us the lines of defense, but very few people take note of that. One is you never add, subtract, or change the words. But the other is rightly dividing. And that is such a truth that's so vital, where the devil is so subtle that he takes a truth of the kingdom age and has a bunch of watchtower people going door to door telling them the truth about the kingdom. But it becomes a lie because they're not telling them about the gospel of the grace of God. And so, and the same in the Mormon realm and all that stuff, where the devil is so masterful that he takes a truth and pulls it back to the wrong age. And that's how he hoodwinks people. And now, John R. Rice, he wrote a lot of good things. He wrote a lot of good tracts, and he was a good evangelist, but he opposed the idea of dispensations, and I tell you, that caused a lot of lack of understanding amongst this fundamental Baptist movement, even to the point where I knew of a guy that went through Maranatha Baptist Bible College, and he sort of took an oath against dispensations. What a thing. I mean, the Bible to me is so confusing without dispensation, without seeing this goes here, this is here, this is here. Some things are universal, some things are time sensitive. And it makes perfect sense when you get those puzzle pieces of the puzzle in place, but it makes absolutely no sense. And that's why these people limit down their preaching to a small set, because they don't know how to handle those verses. They don't know what to do with them. Because I didn't know what to do with them when we were in Colorado. We knock on these doors and people bring up this stuff, and at least I was honest enough to say, I don't know the answer to that. And then on the way home, I said, Lord, I don't believe what they were saying is right, but I don't know what's right. Would you please kind of help me out here? And thank God in his mercy, he started showing me something. There's a guy years ago, he's from California, he liked to smoke his weed, and he got talking to me about the sure mercies of David. And I didn't know anything about the sure mercies of David, and I'm thinking, this dope smoker knows some things about the scriptures. I don't know. I better go find out what that's about. And thank God he, you know, he at least got me thinking about that. And then I studied the sure mercies of David. And thank God for that. So in 2 Peter 2, you have these angels everywhere. And then in verse 12, very strange. I think it's a very strange statement. But these as natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. Now, the Lord said in the Old Testament that he does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But here, whatever these creatures are, natural brute beasts, the Lord said they need to be destroyed. So I would dare say they either are a hopeless beast or a creature that has no soul. And so he calls them natural brute beast. And now that idea is also mentioned by Jude in Jude verse 10. So that means the same doctrinal footing. And natural brute beast, now the Antichrist is portrayed as a beast, but yet when the Antichrist will be thrown into the bottomless pit or into hell, or when the devil's thrown into hell, people will witness this creature, this man. They say, is this the man that, you know, basically caused a problem? They're seeing a man. And I would dare say it's like, what is it in the Disney program? They have what's called a Beauty and the Beast. This beauty and this creature comes out. And has everybody seen the big statues in town, the 12-foot, you know, skeletons? I mean, there's two of them in town. Are these people kind of getting ready? Are they getting ready to try and, or is the devil trying to get ready to people looking forward 12-footers? And it's not even Halloween. I mean, can you imagine walking out? The one is over there by Larry and Katie's house, and you walk out, and there's a 12-footer looking at you. Have a good day, fella, you know? But these are natural brute beasts. I don't know all that's entailed. Now, I've asked some military men about cloning. I don't know what to think of it, where you can take the cells of a celebrity and or somebody and clone them and then have them like a creature stand in this person's stead. If you see Biden's picture in the past and the Biden that's being portrayed, it is not the same man. Now, some people say it's clones. Some say it's a doppelganger. Some say it's an actor. Okay, but the earlobes are not the same. The eyes aren't the same. There are little things that you notice. And this cloning stuff, you know, I personally, I don't know what all that entails and how quick they can do that. But is that what these natural brute beasts will be? I don't know. I have not a clue. It's something that's very, very strange that will be utilized in the tribulation time period. That Satan will have all this around the world because he will be limited to one location, as he always is. But then, like a pyramid scheme, then he has a program laid out to keep control of people. So in verse 12, he says, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. So there's no hope for these creatures, whatever they are, walking around. And then it says they speak evil of things that they understand not. They're just running their mouth and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So again, in the Old Testament, the Lord does not take pleasure in the death of wicked, but something like this, it seems to me that he does. And he does say in Psalm 5:5 that he hates the workers of iniquity. And that workers of iniquity is an interesting study And that's the advantage of a computer program like Sword Searcher, is you could hit phrase, workers of iniquity, and it runs 21, 22 times. And then you run those through, and it starts in Job and then Psalms. Those are the two main ones. And then Proverbs, and then there's one time in the New Testament in Luke. And I do believe that that's the demoniac creatures that will manifest themselves to be governing structures like the mighty men of renown before the flood, that will follow the bidding of Lucifer, even though they operate on a survival of the fittest, but the Lord is going to put in their mind, we're going to unite under the Antichrist, according to Revelation 17, 17, to bring this whole program to a crescendo. And it's like the fireworks. It's the fireworks at the end. They've got all the fireworks, you know, and the Lord's setting it up, so he's going to have a big fireworks program at the end, and the Lord's going to come out winner. So it's like he's building the devil. He's going to build him up, like he's just keep giving him a left jab, until he gets his chin just so. And then, whack, coming right in there. So these are, wherever they are, and then they're likened to something in the Old Testament. He says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot in daytime. Okay, riot riots usually take place at nighttime because that's when evil takes place. But the Black Lives Matter movement, the attitude with that movement is they don't care if it's day or night. And that's quite an attitude. And then it says spots. They are. I remember reading about him in first grade. And so spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. The feasting, I would say, is political fundraisers. Now, sporting in the Bible is not so much as we think sports. This involves fornication. So it involves perversion often. Okay, it seems to be more there, and the spots is a kind of a weird study. Spots you'll have where the pure religion is to keep yourself unspotted from the world, and then in Jude it mentions that their garments are spotted, and the spots idea, I would dare say, is something associated with leprosy or AIDS, and this monkeypox thing that it seems that you're trying to ramp up is something that seems to be limited or coming out of the homosexual movement. Okay, and so, but yet they're trying to get this ramped up again. And so, I just hope and pray that they don't get this thing going by September. Because it wasn't amazing how fast they did it last time, and it doesn't take them long. So, I don't know, we'll just have to see. So, in Revelation, it mentions that the ones who take the mark of the beast and worship the image, they get this disease. And AIDS is a disease that ends with a lot of spots, lesions. It's a very terrible way to die. But yet, this is what the Lord will do to these creatures and or people, because they deserve this. Now, this sporting themselves, now if you drop down to verse 14, as the sentence keeps going, so the sentence starts in verse 12 and runs clear down to 16. And then it says, having eyes full of adultery. So that would kind of bring in line the idea of that. That, and then it says that cannot cease from sin. It doesn't say will not. They cannot. They revel in behavior like this. They laugh about it. They mock. They despise those that are good. They don't respect those that are good, that are morally good. They despise them. Okay, and so this is... we can see that this thing is kind of coming to a head, and of course that's good for the believer. So then he says that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. The unstable souls is why they got to get into the schools at the kindergarten level, telling these children what they're telling them. I mean, and it's just amazing how this is. I mean, it's about like putting a chicken in the den with the coyotes, a little hen, a little chick, in this pen with a bunch of coyotes, and there's no hope for that. And these kids are so confused. It's an amazing thing that they're being allowed these drag, whatever they are, being reading in libraries. It's just how wicked is that? And places are allowing it to take place. Down in Monticello, they were discussing in a school board meeting, should they... They probably need to consider putting a kitty litter box in a bathroom because a couple kids think they're cats. I mean, in small town USA, they're actually having discussions about like this and not laughing about it. 20 years ago, we were saying, what, are you kidding? Well, the teacher's a Doberman Pinscher, so better get that cat out of the room. You know, but... actually, people think they're intelligent talking about this stuff. And it's just utter insanity. And to beguile these unstable souls and then and heart they have exercised with covetous practices and then cursed children. What's a terrible thing? Cursed children. And how far do you go with that idea? Cursed children, because up in verse 12, natural brute beast. And then you get talking about that, and people really think you're nuts. Where, I tell you, it's just really weird what is being talked about. That it's almost, can these children, as they grow, can they be saved? I have no idea. You know, if they're going under AI, if they're being in cloning stuff, and it's hard to say. And then it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, of course, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, Balaam, of course, you got to go back in the Old Testament and find that guy. And you'll find him in Numbers 22 to 25. And that guy is a weird case. Where he could use enchantments, you know, to talk, I don't know, to some creature, you know, something. But yet then the Lord would interfere and talk to this guy. And then Balak was trying to pay him, Balaam, to put a curse on Israel. And of course we know the world's gotten better. And so... do you believe that things like this are taking place today? Do you believe that somebody is going to some witches in their community saying, would you pray against so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a guy on an airplane years ago. Man, this was probably 15, 20 years ago. And his person sitting next to him refused the meal because he was fasting. And so who talks about fasting, but, you know, maybe Christians do. And so it kind of struck up this guy's curiosity. He said, you're fasting. He said, yeah, I'm fasting. He said, wow, are you a Christian? Oh, no. Why are you fasting? Well, I'm a Satanist. What are you fasting for? Well, we're praying for the destruction of 3,000 preachers in America this year. So last year we met our goal. We're ahead of schedule this year. And that, can you imagine the pressure that's put on preachers? And if they know nothing about spiritual warfare, and they know nothing about the history of the Jesuit priest, where they send in young people and young girls to seduce preachers or professors just to bring this down. I mean, we're in a war. It's a war what's going on. And so Balaam was paid these things, and it says he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now notice, he may have been a kind of a moral guy, but he got money from unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And then in verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. And I'm sure many of us have heard this word, these words. The dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Okay, and there's a common saying there is, stop the madness. But even if you hear that in a job, when somebody says, you... Take that opportunity. Well, did you know you quoted some scripture? I mean, you talk about catching them off guard. What? Oh, yeah, that's what talked to Balaam. And just use that, you know, really fry their brain on that one. I like to use common sayings when people say that stuff, because, man, you catch them so off guard about this, and then it makes the Bible come alive, these common sayings. And so there he is. And to me, the funniest thing about that story is that Balaam answered back to the animal. Did anybody remember the Mr. Ed, the horse, of course, you know, Mr. Ed, the talking horse? Well, this is a talking mule. And the Lord, you know, the Lord can, the animals, most of the time animals live according to the survival of the fittest. But when God puts in an animal something he needs done, they comply with their creator. When he told that whale, hey, I got something for you to, you know, it's kind of a big horse pill, but I got you to swallow something. And he said, what's that? He said, well, I got a backslidden prophet. Well, Lord, you know, that's going to give me indigestion. You know, I mean, that's going to be pretty bad. Well, I want you to have indigestion because I want you to barf them up on the land about 3 days later. So don't take any of your Tums or Rolaids with you. And so make sure you just keep them in there for a while. And so those animals do what the Lord says. And that donkey spoke to Balaam, and then he answered back. But he was crazy. The man was crazy. And that's a pretty interesting thing is when you go back to Numbers 22 and when you follow the progression, in the King James Bible, it says, if the men come and get you, you can go with them. But many of the new Bibles take if out. And so when he goes with them, like a pastor said in a devotional, I don't know why God got mad at him. And then a man in the devotional, one of the men in the group who read the King James, well, in the King James Bible, it says if, so therefore you know why God got mad at him. And that's quite a change in there when they do something like that. And then he describes, again, these workers of iniquity. These are wells without water. Clouds, they're carried with tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. So these creatures already have a reservation in hell. Okay, now clouds that are carried with tempests, so they're going to be drama, always stirring up something. And when you get drama going, drama, and then you get into the narcissistic world and all this drama, and when a person tries to deal with a narcissist with logic, it will never work because you're dealing with a spirit. Spirits do not operate according to logic. And so that's what makes a person who's trying to deal with a narcissist with logic, it makes us doubt ourselves. Am I crazy? Did I experience what I just saw? But when you recognize that there's spirits involved and they stir up the drama, because that's how it gets things all fired up and stirred up, and then people react emotionally, and then words are expressed, feelings are hurt. And then if we would be given spiritualized at that moment, if we looked over in the corner, we'd probably see a couple imps over there getting a big chuckle out of this fight that they stirred up. And they get a kick out of that. And then these things in verse 18 says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity." So we're dealing, when you hear of these political, Pelosi, Schiff, even on the Republican side, when these people were bragging so much about themselves, swelling words of vanity, I mean, they're just building up more and more, making hell hotter and hotter for themselves. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they refuse to say under God. They won't answer what a woman is. I mean, what a thing. How ignorant are these people? Purposely, willfully, snubbing their nose at God. He said, "And when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness." And that's a legal term. Wantonness is like purposeful, malicious. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, okay, the entire train, oh, you have liberty to be what you want to be. Okay, you got that liberty. No, you have enslavement. And these people are enslaved to this. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And that's what these people or creatures or whatever they are, they are under bondage. They're slaves. And a person tries to deal with them, and it's like, best thing to do is walk away from them. Just walk away. Okay, and if you could stay away from them permanently, that'd be great. But sometimes, you got to deal with somebody like this. And then he says in 24, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, so people that do in a trib do see stuff and do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Simon Peter's the only one that uses that phrase the way that is. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only one that uses it like that. So, and then it says they are again entangled. So the implications of verse 20 doesn't kind of fit in the doctrinal eternal security of Paul. And this is why Arminians have their verses and eternal security. We got the verses, but when you put them in the right location, it makes sense. But the Baptists that don't want to believe in dispensations, they don't know how to handle Hebrews 3, Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10. Not at all. Several years ago, remember John Rice had the Sword of the Lord, and then he had little booklets for certain topics, and they were very helpful. Well, Curtis Hudson kind of complied and followed along with that because he was the second guy. Well, he put one on out, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, and at that time I had pretty much understood dispensation. I pretty much had Hebrews figured out, and so I thought, oh, this is going to be curious to see how he writes about it. Man, when I read what Curtis Hudson wrote on Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, I thought I was reading Jehovah Witness material. I mean, he's running a Greek here, running a Greek there, changing this word, changing that word. Why don't you just let it set in its setting? It says Hebrews. And it makes perfect sense when you leave it set. But you see, again, when they're trying to make the Bible Baptist from Genesis to Revelation, that's why they got to make it smaller in order to preach it. And then when they deal with the Arminians, here's how they get out of it. Well, that's a good question. When I get done giving you the gospel, maybe we'll answer that. And then they hopefully never comes up again. And that's usually the approach. So this verse 20 is implying someone is in danger of going back. And then it says, and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And that's like Jesus said in Mark, or in the Gospels, that when a devil departs from a person, if this person doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ to replace this devil, seven more are coming back on them. And that's the pressure. Then it says 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The holy commandment, you'll see the word commandment over and over and over through the first John. And most likely that's going towards the two great commandments, love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, but then you got the holy commandment. And then verse 22, he said, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. And of course, this is written in the Proverbs. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. Boy, that's really, you know, that'll really help the supper. The dog is turned to his own vomit, and a sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. Now that dog returned, you know, of course the common saying verse 2 is she's a pig, but you got the dog's turn. You know, I can remember when our dog do that. You know, it just, and I was like, gross, just stinking animal, you know. And I would pull that dog away from it, you know. And then I'd clean it up and throw it out in a cornfield. And then the dog looking for it again. That's that cute little poodle dog, you know, going around. I mean, that's just disgusting. But the Lord likens this to the fool. Going back to their folly, going back to it. And so the dogs returned to his own vomit again, the sow. Now, normally, dog is a picture of a male false prophet. A sow is a picture of a female false prophet. That's kind of the general rule. It's not a hard, fast rule. But then he says, beware of dogs. Philippians 3, and then he said, beware of the concision. I think that's a weird, that's the only time the word concision is found in the Bible, not circumcision. So I don't know if that concision would be fake Jews. Beware of the dogs, beware of concision. Okay, and so, but yet dogs are our picture, you know, and if you watch nature shows, watch these shows about these pack of wild dogs in Africa. And how they go after, you know, a gazelle. I mean, it's just ruthless. And then they eat the animal alive. Can you imagine being laid there and all these dogs are just pulling from every direction? Spiritually, that is what these spirit beings want to do to each and every one of us. And that's why we need the whole armor of God. And that's why the Lord says we're more than conquerors. And so we have some great promises with that. Okay, that's chapter 2. And hope that gets you ready for supper, that verse 22. Have some corned beef hash. Ooh. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words. And I do thank you that we can see the doctrines of your words. And we look forward to the wonderful hope of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And man, Lord, I think there are some clouds out there today. And so you said you're going to have some clouds. Of course, you could bring them with you. And I think it would be a great day. We pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.